Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast, as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
Well, tonight's the sixth session, as I said, in Breakthrough in Our Finances, and the session is entitled Staying in the Center of His Will. What I'd like to encourage you to do is, if tonight seems, you know, a little like, man, I don't even know, this one doesn't have quite as many cool stories, go back and listen to one or two of them with the cool stories, because we did five whole sessions of supernatural stories of God's provision and His breakthrough in the area of finances as we agree with Him, aligning our money with His purposes. This is the incredible things that He can do. And tonight, what I want to do is I just want to talk about the strategic financial plan that the Lord has for each of us. And it's so important. I mean, finances aren't a small part of life. I mean, they're a really big deal. Because anytime you eat anything, somebody had to pay for that. Either you or somebody else. Every time you sleep somewhere besides a park bench, that included money. Somehow or the other, in order to be able to sleep there. Every time you take a step, it's probably in a shoe that somebody had to pay for. Money is just, it's a real part of life. And so the Lord, He's got a strategic financial plan for you, just like He's got a strategic ministry plan for you. Like a strategic, work life plan for you, or education plan. Whatever it is that you might think of the Lord having a strategy about, He has a strategic plan for your finances. And we want to make sure that we do the best that we can to stay right in the middle of His will. One of the previous sessions that we talked about was just the concept of tithing being a statement of how the Lord has ownership over all of our finances. And really what we want to look at is that concept of the Lord having ownership over all of our finances. And so tonight, it's going to be a little bit of a shift of pace, same content, or same subject matter, but a little bit of shift of pace, because tonight we're going to be looking at, okay, so if it all is His, if all the money that we come in into contact with really is His, then what might be His plan for the use of those finances? And I just want to start off with giving us a little bit of perspective that I think is so important that each of us feel, that we get a feel for this very point. And that is, as Americans, we have more privilege than the majority of the kings that have ever lived in human history. I mean, the fact that you have air conditioning in your house or car is a privilege, is a benefit, is a luxury that the majority of the kings that have ever lived didn't have. I mean, that's just astounding to me when I think about that. I go, the amount of privilege the access that we have to so many things. It is astounding. And while we might look at it and go, well, everybody's got air conditioning, what's the big deal? Not everybody on the planet has air conditioning. And not everybody in human history has had air conditioning. And again, I'll say the statement again. Most of the kings on the planet who have ever lived from the beginning of human history have not had access to the things that you and I have at our fingertips on a daily basis. And why does that matter? Because to him who has been given much, much will be demanded. And we'll look at that verse here in a minute and just kind of feel that for a minute. But my point here is that in many ways, we were born into prosperity. I mean, we were given such privilege by the very fact that we live here and that we've got access to so much cars and technology, the ability at the end of our fingertips to be able to access the internet, whatever the heck that is, and be able to gain access to all sorts of information and knowledge. We have so much at our fingertips. It blesses me every day that my wife has a Pinterest account. She finds the most delicious little recipes on that thing. I just love it. My life is so blessed because of the existence of Pinterest. Now, I myself don't have a Pinterest account, but I definitely am an avid supporter of my wife, who has that sort of privilege and honor and access. And then she can go to the grocery store and buy whatever in the world she wants for a very reasonable price, bring it home and make me something delicious. This is wonderful. This is the sort of privilege that we have that it's not normal in human history. And it's not even normal across the entire human population of the earth, much of which is living in hunger. I mean, we have so much privilege. So with that, I want us to understand the ramifications. There are some serious blessings of living here. Some serious blessings. But I want us to have a little bit of the fear of the Lord I want us to have an understanding of the ramifications from heaven's standpoint about what it means to live as privileged as we do from God's perspective. Luke 12:48, verse that we'll just start with tonight, is that much is demanded from us. From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much will be asked. I just think about this in light of human history and think about the poorest person in the room right now and how much more you have than most of the population of human history. And then the second poorest person on to the richest person in the room. I mean, we have some serious privilege. And I have a concern in my heart when we start talking about the concept of money. We're doing a whole series on finances and getting a breakthrough in our finances. I have a concern in my heart that we are far too used to comparing ourselves to millionaires and far less used to comparing ourselves to the poorest person from 300 years ago. And from God's perspective, the one who has been given much, much will be demanded. And much is, the scale of much is not look at the person who's living in the biggest house in your city. The scale of much starts at the person who has absolutely nothing all the way up to the top. And then when you start to look at that scale, we fall in the top 10% of human history. And probably even the top percent than that, as far as what we've been given. So this verse kind of terrifies me. This verse has me concerned in a godly way. This verse has me thinking about my money in terms of, oh man, have I been given much? I have a vehicle. I live in a home. I have an incredible family. I have food on the table. I can go buy a coffee if I want. I mean, like, the amount of privilege, the amount of much that I've been given. I mean, I've never gone without, or whatever I did go without was so small, it's not really worth mentioning. I have been given so much. And in the area of finances specifically, I want us to see ourselves in that top of the top percentage bracket instead of seeing ourselves somewhere in the middle or the lower. You know, we in this room, probably many of us would find ourselves, according to American economics, probably in the lower class. Okay, as far as how much money we have coming in, you know, income, there may not be a whole lot of, you know, upper middle class folks in the room. That's okay. But I think we probably need to be comparing ourselves far more to the grand scale and not to an American standard that the Lord's not going to, like, you know, return and go, oh, I'm so glad you can compared yourself to all the American concepts since I, Jesus, am an American. I mean, it's like God's not thinking that way at all. And we've been programmed to. And what I think it causes us to do is to live ungrateful, to live always wanting, to live always trying to climb that ladder a little more. Always trying to have more. And I don't think that the Lord is at all against stuff if we can hold our hearts right. But there's something about the pursuit, this nagging pursuit, I must always have more. And a comparison as though we were not in that top 10% of being the richest people that have ever lived in the face of the earth ever. And we have such a misconception about it that this verse is going to be very real to all of us when we stand before the Lord. All of us are going to have to give an account. And what the Word of God says is, to everyone who's been given much, and I just want to get all of us on the hook, we have all been given much. All of us. To everyone who's been given much, much will be demanded. And that demanded doesn't mean you have to, like, perform awesome or be smart. The demanded really is regarding the whole issue of, I've been given a lot of stuff, therefore God wants me to steward that stuff well and be able to sow it into the kingdom well and to use those things well. Much has been given, therefore much is expected of what I will do with my finances in the area of blessing the kingdom. Now, part of the thing that's concerning to me is this isn't taught a lot. This concept, it's not taught very often, but every single one of us is going to have to answer for it. I would rather be the guy who gives us the bad news tonight. Like, I would rather be the one that stands here and says, we have an uh-oh that we need to consider. Uh-oh. We have a moment of truth that we have to have a recognition of, and that is we are living in that top 10%, and much has been given to us, and therefore much is expected, even demanded. These are the words of Jesus. It says, to the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. And just think about all that we've been entrusted with in the area of having the capacity through technology to be able to reach anybody. Having the ability through travel to be able to minister to anybody. Having the ability through this, through that. I mean, we have been entrusted with an incredible amount. The amount of Bible knowledge in this room is another one of those things that we've got to steward well. Because we fall in that high percentage bracket again. The amount of instruction that you've received, that you know, the access that you have to the Bible. The majority of the planet has never owned a Bible. You've probably got three on your shelf at home. I mean, this is another one of those uh-oh moments. We have been given tremendous responsibility. And we all just live as though we're just the bottom of the barrel. Well, we didn't go to seminary. I don't know the Bible that much. I promise you, you know the Bible way more than the majority of the human race that's come and gone and never even heard the Bible. You've got so much in the area of what has been given to you and in the area of what has been entrusted to you. And so I just want to steward this well. Like, I don't have all the answers. I'm at the beginning of the journey myself trying to figure out, Lord, what does this Bible verse mean to me? Like, what do you see in my life? What, with what you've given me, with what you've entrusted me with, what now am I responsible for? And it's my heart tonight that as we open with this Bible verse, and then we talk about a bunch more, it's my hope that this will stir something in us, will cause our hearts to begin to want to reach to find reasonable answers to these questions about, Lord, have I been given much? Yes. Okay, what does much being demanded look like regarding my finances? What is it that you, what do you want that to look like? Not what is so-and-so, not what is the salesman that shows up at the door, not the online, you know, preacher. What do you say? What do you say you want me to do with my finances regarding I've been given much, now I'm much is demanded? And then regarding what we've been entrusted with in so many ways. Lord, what do you want to do? What do you require from us? Well, I want to look at another verse in Luke, a little earlier in the chapter. It's Luke 12:15. In this verse, we see the rich young ruler, or the man rather, in this parable, and he's got this desire, he's got this thought process of storing up his possessions, of just making large stockpiles of his resources. And it says this: Jesus said, and he said to them, "Watch out, be on guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions." This is something in line with the thinking that we've been entrusted with much, we've been given much. We live in a culture that is constantly telling us your life consists in the abundance of your possessions. How big is your house? How fast is your car? How new is your this? How much of this do you have? How fat is the bank account? There's constantly this pressure in our culture to store up possessions. And Jesus just says, he says it so clear, he says, watch out. I look at this, it's like I can hear Jesus saying it to me today. You know, as though this is not an old word at all. It's a new word for right now from the Holy Spirit to each one of us living in a culture that is consumed with materialism. There's nothing wrong with having stuff. But watch out. Because your life does not consist in the abundance of your possessions or the lack of your possessions. That is not your life. Your life is hidden in Christ. Your life is His. You are His. He is yours. But you live in a culture that every time you turn on the television or drive down the road, you see ads that tell you your life is about what you own, about how awesome your vacation can be, about how new your material goods are. That's what your life consists of. That is the message we are told every single day. And Jesus just says, listen, it's so important. You need to watch out for that lie. You who've been so privileged, you need to watch out for that lie, because you've been given much and much will be demanded from you, but you live in a culture that says, live like this is the only life you're ever going to have, and store up as much goods and fatten that bank account as much as you can, and take the biggest and the best this and that. Have as much as you possibly can for yourself, because this life is all there is, and your life is made up of the abundance of your possessions, and you live in that culture. And so you hear that message, sometimes loudly, sometimes subtly. You hear it every single day, and Jesus says, watch out, especially you who are privileged, because this is going to be a great snare, and all of us are going to have to give an account. That same passage, starting just a little bit earlier, or I guess it's right after it, Luke 12:16-21. You guys know the passage. I'm going to read it real quick. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. And he thought to himself, self, I will tear down my barns and I will build bigger barns. And there I will store up all my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool. This very night, your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich towards God. This is a very powerful phrase or statement that this parable ends with. The parable does not condemn having stuff. It actually condemns the condemning issue. The you fool, I mean, how many people want God to say that to them? You fool. I mean, like, man, I'd rather have that from my best friend than from my God any day, right? It says, well, here's how you become you fool. Store up things for yourselves, but don't be rich towards God. Now, you notice the beginning of this parable started with the ground of a rich man yielded an abundant harvest. Well, who's in charge of the dirt? God. So who gave this man his wealth? God. God made a man rich. God did it. The man didn't even do it. The man had the ground, but God's the one that blessed the dirt. God made this man stupid rich. God did it. But his purpose wasn't that the man would spend it all on himself and tear down his old barns and build bigger barns. His purpose was that this man would have a bunch of stuff and continually try to find ways to sow it into the kingdom of God. That was the plan of God for this man. And so this man took those abundance, took all the possessions, took everything, the benefit and the strength, the prosperity, if you will, that all of us are currently living in, took it and said, I will use it for myself and I will live awesome. And I will retire early and life for me will be epic. And God says, you know what? I'm taking your life. Your life is demanded of you this very night, fool. And this is another one of those scary verses. This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich towards God. It's not a condemning against having stuff. It's against storing up for yourself, instead of storing up for yourself so that you'll have good things, but that you can continually sow a tremendous amount into the kingdom. He says, this is how it will be for whoever stores up things for themselves, but who's not rich towards God. The Lord wants bajillionaires. He wants billionaires and millionaires and trillionaires. I think the Lord loves that idea. He's had them in the Bible. We see Cyrus back in the day. He was a bajillionaire. He had a lot of money. David had a ton of money. God's not against people with money or against people without money. He's against those who have it but are not rich towards Him, who don't use those resources to build the kingdom purposes of God. Listen, you've heard me say it before, I want to be a rich man. But I want to use those resources to build the kingdom of God. And you better believe I'll have a house that works and is functioning great and fills every need for my family. You better believe that. But I want to be rich, not so I can build 17 houses, I want to be rich so that I've got abundant finances to be able to build the kingdom, because I see this principle at work that God's the one that blesses the ground. Amen. And when He does, He's looking for a return. And He wants people to sow and be rich towards God. And what does that being rich towards God mean? That's really the little segue point here that I want to make is, okay, great, we want to be rich towards God. Does anybody have a definition of exactly what that means? Because I want to make sure I do it. You know, rich towards God means you give this amount to this person on this day. It's not that simple. But there are some principles that are laid out in the Word that are part of what that means. And each one of us, this is kind of the fun part, each one of us has to talk to God in order to figure out the answer to the question. In order to get the idea, to hear from heaven, what does it look like for you to be rich towards God is going to be different than what it looks like for you to be rich towards God. Each one of us has got to go on this journey because your finances look different, because your relationships look different, because the things that the Lord puts on your heart are different, circumstances, everything's different. You and you and you are all completely different situations. So being rich towards God is not going to look the same for every person. It actually requires relationship with God. We actually have to talk. Well, okay, God, I'm alerted. Pretty intense Bible verse. You want me to be rich towards you with my dinero. Got it. What does that mean? What do I do with my money? I only got $2. What do I do with it? You know, I only got $20. I only got $200. Wherever you're at in life, 2,000, 2 million. I only got. What do you want me to do, God? What does it mean to be rich towards you? Getting His perspective. Well, one of the areas is He wants us to be generous towards our brothers. Our brothers and sisters in the faith. Let's pull up those three verses. Acts 4:32, Acts 2:44, and Galatians 6:10. All of these address the concept of being rich in giving towards, in supplying for, in helping our brothers and sisters in Christ and helping them in their way and in their journey. And this obviously can have 100 different expressions of what this can look like. But just look at this. Acts 4. All the believers were one in heart and mind, and no one claimed that their possessions were their own. But they shared everything they had. They shared what they had. This is beautiful. Acts 2:44, all the believers were together, and they had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Galatians 6:10, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Let us do good to those who belong to the family of believers. Now let me give you a couple of touch points here. This concept of giving our money to believers does not mean you extract wisdom. I'll give you for instance. You know somebody, they just got saved, and they are a heroin addict. And you know they've not broken free of that thing yet. And they look at you with their teeth falling out and they say, I need money. I need it right now. I'm your brother. Well, now they're manipulating you. Okay? Do not give them money to go buy heroin. Okay? This doesn't mean that just anybody that wants anything for any reason ever, that's not what this is saying. There's a ton of teachings in the Scripture that talk about wisdom in the area of how we sow, who we give to, when. I'll just give you a simple little checkpoint. Let your default be yes instead of your default be no. And then go to God with a yes in your heart instead of a no in your heart. You know, so often when we come to a need, our answer is no. And we go, God, if you break my arm, then I'll do it. But you better break it. I mean, no bending. I need this thing broken. Instead, let's go to God with a yes and go, God, I've got a yes. I know what the Word of God says about blessing my brothers and my sisters in Christ, about helping them. I know what it says. So Lord, my answer is yes. Now Lord, what do you want me to do? And give the Holy Spirit the opportunity to go, you know what? That's actually not where I want you to sow that money today. Let the Holy Spirit give you the Word that says, you know what? You think that's a good thing for them right now. That's actually not what would be most helpful for them. Let the Holy Spirit lead you. We're not talking about extracting the voice of the Lord and the leading of the Holy Spirit. We're just talking about changing our defaults here. Again, I'm looking at this from the standpoint of, to him who has been given much, much will be demanded. Well, one of the ways that the Lord wrote into the DNA of the kingdom a way to keep guys like you and me and gals like you and, well, I'm not a girl, but you get the point. Folks like us, to keep us in balance in the way of the Lord regarding finances is He told us to be generous. He told us, if you've been given much, much will be demanded from you. And then He told us, by the way, if your brother or sister is in need, let your default be yes, I'll help you. That's one of the ways that He actually helps us fulfill the thing He told us we had to do. Because we're always going to be, if we're in any sort of a healthy spot at all in our relationship with God, we're going to have brothers and sisters in Christ at arm's length. We're always going to have believers around us. Because that's healthy. We're the body of Christ. It says, let your default, if you will, this is my interpretation, let your default be yes instead of your default be no. And then say, Lord, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to do it? And let the Holy Spirit lead you. There are times where He's going to say, do not do that. I've been surprised a couple of times when I've gone to the Lord and I said, Lord, okay, I'm ready. I'm going to do it. I heard the Lord say, do not do that. You do not know what's going on in that situation. Don't touch it. Oh, okay. You got anybody else that maybe needs $10? I don't have a lot today. I got 10 bucks. Yes, I know who needs $10. The Lord always knows who needs $10, by the way. If you ever want to know the answer to the question, the Lord always has an answer to that question. There's always someone who needs $10. So, the passage in Mark 10, 21. You guys are familiar with this one too, I'm sure. Mark 10, 21. We may not be able to get this one. Oh, look at that. You're amazing. Mark 10, 21. Jesus looked at him. He's looking at the rich young ruler. And it says He looked at this rich guy and He loved him. I just love that idea. This idea that he just looked at him and he said, I just love you. Jesus looked, I'm sorry, I get hung up on little passages like this. This is about the affections of Jesus as a man. He's a human being, fully God, fully man. And He looks at a person and He just goes, oh, I'm about to give you the hardest word of your life. And I just love you. I look at you, I love you. Now let me tell you something tough. Jesus looked at him and He loved him. One thing you lack, He said, go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you'll have treasures in heaven, and then come follow me. Now let me tell you a couple points on this verse. First, this is not a Bible verse that is to be interpreted as every person, every time they ever get anything, always should sell everything and go give everything they have away and give it to the poor. This was a very specific situation where Jesus is looking at this man and He identifies, you have a significant block in your relationship between me and you. And He says, you are not going to be okay in the kingdom of God unless you're able to do this very tough thing I'm about to say. He recognized that in this man's life, this was going to be the greatest hindrance between this man and his walk with God. Jesus told us elsewhere that it's very difficult for a rich person to get into heaven. Not impossible, just tough. Because ones with money, those with a lot of finances, they tend to trust themselves and their own money as opposed to trusting God. And God's purpose is to uproot that out of us, make us, you know, filled with finances and filled with hearts that trust God so that we don't have any of that bondage. But He recognizes it's a tough road. And so to this guy, he says, oh, I just love this guy. I want this guy to be with me. I want this guy to follow me. But in order for this guy to do it, he's got to go sell everything and follow him. Now, the reason I'm bringing this Bible verse up, one, I just like to take the opportunity to say that this is not a universal call to poverty. In fact, I'll give you a little side note here. We've just studied like 50 Bible verses or something that talk about give money to God and God will give you money back. More than likely, if this guy would have done it, he would have been double stupid rich in 10 years. I mean, that's just how the kingdom works. Given it will be given to you. This guy's thinking, I have to give away all my money and then I'm going to be broke for the rest of my life. God was probably actually inviting him into a financial, really good financial deal. Actually, because the scripture says, give money to God, God will give you money back, pressed down, shaken together, overflowing into your lap. With the measure that you use, so will it be used back to you. I mean, if this guy would have actually done this, he would have wound up so loaded in some time later. I just believe that in my heart because it just falls in line with the teaching of the scripture. But this guy, he needed to do this. And I'll just say this. There are degrees of this, and even to this degree, that the Lord still speaks this word as a now word to people. It's just not everybody. It's not everybody all the time. But there are still people that the Lord speaks this to and says, in order for you to get free, you just need to give it all away. You just need to sow it all into the kingdom and just start fresh and do a reboot. And I only teach that or say that because I don't know how many of us in this room are on a path that the Lord would want to do something along those lines. And I just want to say it's biblical. It's not for everybody. It's not the plan of God for everybody who comes into the kingdom. But there are areas of our heart sometimes that need to be unlocked. And the way to do that is to make a radical step forward and that the Lord would speak about. Well, let's look at this concept of fulfilling our responsibility. Just these are a few things for you to factor in as you're trying to figure out how does this apply, this idea of given it will be given, this idea of the one who's been given much, much will be demanded, in order to try to develop some balance in our finances, to recognize that the Lord has blessed us so much. What are some things for us to factor in us fulfilling our responsibility? James 2, 14 through 17. James 2, this is James talking about, it's a passage you guys, I'm sure know. James 2 is talking about this idea about what real faith in God looks like and what it doesn't look like. And on the area of finances, he says this. He says, what good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but doesn't have deeds to go along with them? Can such faith save them? And then he starts to give an example of what this could look like in our lives. And he's talking about the area of finances. He says, suppose a brother or a sister without clothes and daily food. And so one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and be well fed, but doesn't do anything for their physical needs. What good is that? So in the same way, faith by itself, if it's not accompanied by action, is dead. One of the responsibilities that we have with our finances is to actually go and to make a difference in people's lives. To make a difference. Now, in this situation, making a difference just means, at an entry point, means helping them out with some food and with some clothes and maybe trying to help them on their way. In another situation, it might be more costly. In another situation, it might be less costly. But the important part here to see is there's something about demanded. Remember that word? Him who's been given much, much will be demanded. This is the kind of situation, it's demanding you to do something. Situations that you see that demand you to do something, and specifically regarding those that are in the kingdom of God. You know, the truth of the matter is there may not be enough money yet for the kingdom of God to be able to finance every single person on the planet and every need that they have to the fullest. But we can within the kingdom. It's one of the perks of being a brother and sister in the kingdom. We're supposed to look out for our own. And this passage talks about this idea of something being demanded of us when we recognize a need. And it says, you see your brother or your sister, and they're without the things that they need. And you say to them, go in peace, keep warm, and I sure hope you are well fed. Have a nice day. And he says, that's dead faith. Like putting our faith to action, demanded. What's demanded of us? We find a way to help our brother or sister. We find a way. Another thing to ponder is when someone asks us. Oh, this is a tough one. Look at this though. Matthew 5, 42. Give to the one who asks you. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. Oh my gosh, Jesus, what in the heck? Why are you saying this? You can't possibly mean what you're saying. You cannot possibly mean this. You mean if someone has the guts to ask me, I'm like obligated to say yes? Like, they asked me, I have it, I should give it to them? Mm-hmm. And if they ask to borrow from me, I should actually let them borrow what they want to borrow? Mm-hmm. That's intense. That is so intense. And again, I just want to invite us into shifting our posture. This doesn't mean that, again, the heroin addict says, give me your money. I want to go buy heroin right now. No, you cannot have my money. That's wisdom. Don't feed that habit. And there's 100 other habits that we also don't want to feed. I'm just using one that's obvious. I just want us to change our posture from an automatic default of yes instead of a default of no. Because I think it has something to do with this much is demanded of us. And then let the Lord speak to you. But I mean, just look at that. Let that verse stare you in the eyes when it comes to the issue of your finances. Give to the one who asks you. And do not turn away the one who wants to borrow from you. Listen, I am not here to be a killjoy. I mean, I know I'm laying out some Bible verses here that are tough, are painful. Here's what I want. I want myself and anybody that I had the opportunity to be able to minister to be able to show up before the throne and get a well done. You did it right. You lived well. You followed the teachings of the Scripture. Instead of living according to the culture, instead of following the way of your own hearts and selfishness. I have a heart that is sick, and I am selfish many, many times. So I'm not pointing the finger at you. If I do that, I got 3 pointing back. That's how I see it. I'm talking about the issue of following the Word of God and letting the Word of God just be what it says. I mean, how else can we interpret that passage? Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away the one that wants to borrow from you. Painful. Painful. And I think it actually has something to do with living for a different age. Yeah. Boy, if I give to the one who asks me, that means I won't have that thing that I was going to use for my own self. Yeah. I wonder sometimes, I'm going to say it. I wonder sometimes if it's maybe the Lord that provoked the person to ask for that specific thing. But that's mine. That's mine. Can't have that. Who are you to even ask such a thing? I just wonder, what if it's the Lord trying to work on our own sanctification? I mean, all this teaching on money, it's been all sorts of fun and games until session 6. We get to session 6, and now we got to talk about some measure of the balance here, that it's not just about us having a prayer life with God and seeing God break in on our finances, because if God's the one that blesses the dirt, then it's all God's. That money you have, those possessions you have, they are not yours. But we think they are. Mine. We think they are. We are so convinced they're ours. Instead of, we're like a little depot with some resources at it. And the Lord can export or import whatever resources He wants. He can bring us whatever He wants. He can take whatever He wants. He gives, He takes away. It's all His business. The Lord desires to bless you abundantly, but I just don't want us in the process of this pursuit of the living God in the area of supernatural finances to think that it's ours, because it's not ours. It's not. So when Jesus says, if someone asks you to give them some of the stuff I gave you, that I gave you, if they ask for some stuff that's my stuff, that I just happen to let stay at your house, give it to them. Well, this is uncomfortable at all. I thought it was mine. I thought I could do whatever the heck I wanted. You can, but you're going to have to give an account at the end of this. And I am filled with the fear of the Lord on this very point, because as Americans, we're in that top 10%. And we have got quite an account we have to give about our finances. So in all honesty, the previous 5 sessions were a setup to get you as financially prosperous as we could possibly get you, so you could give it all away. Not all, but give a significant amount away. To sow into the kingdom. And the Lord promises, you keep giving, He'll keep giving. You keep giving, He'll keep giving. You know, we get this idea that if someone asked us, and then we felt like, oh my gosh, Matthew 5, it's happening right now. I mean, Matthew 5 is happening in my living room right now. They're asking. We somehow think that if we actually do it, we actually give it to them, that all the Bible passages we've read and studied and look at that talk about give and it will be given to you, somehow it's not applicable. Because they asked. I mean, if they ask and I give it to them, then it doesn't count, right? Who told you that? Again, I think it's the Lord provoking the hearts to ask you for the whatever anyway. Given it will be given to you is real every time. Every time. Try to keep your heart right in the midst of it. But it's real. It's real. It's real. It's real. This is an only win situation. There is no way to lose on this. You give, you're giving back. Somebody asks, you go, wasn't mine anyway. Here you go. You give, the Lord sees it. He goes, ha ha, they did it. They did Matthew 5. I thought for sure they were going to have a hard time with that one. They did it. They did Matthew 5:42. Okay, hey, angels, line up some stuff. Line up some stuff. They need some stuff. They did good. Giving them will be given to them. Line up some stuff. Let's give it to them. That one right there. The redhead? Yeah, I like that redhead. Giving will be given to you. He knows that Bible. And then the Lord lines up his stuff and gives us stuff. I mean, there is such safety here. The problem is when we think that that possession was ours or that our life consists of the abundance of our possessions. The problem is we thought we needed that thing. The problem is that we thought that thing was my thing. That money was my money. That whatever was mine. And God's like, yeah, actually, rich young ruler, I'm asking you to give away all your stuff and then give your money to the poor and have nothing. And then I'll give back to you. Maybe it's just on a smaller level when someone asks for our whatever. Ask for our stuff. Because Jesus, I mean, this is like the Sermon on the Mount. This is as basic Christianity as it gets. He says, give to the one that asks you. And if they don't ask you, give it to me, they say, lend it to me. They say, borrow. He says, then lend it to them. In fact, lend it to them. Just give it to them, man. Just kiss it goodbye. It's gone. That was my favorite thing. It's gone. Gone. Kiss it goodbye. It's actually easier, I've found over the years, when you lend out your stuff to just, it's gone. Because half the time it really is. And most of the time, it was somebody who you just thought for sure they were going to bring the thing back. It's yours. It's gone. Give to the one who asks you. Do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. The next Bible verse, we'll finish up here pretty quick. 1 Corinthians 16, 1 through 4. There are times in our walk with the Lord where collections need to be made for the body of Christ in some area. It's not just a good idea. It's not just an opportunity. It's part of our Christian duty to sow into those collections that are being taken up for people that are in need. A group of people that are in need. You see a number of times in the scripture, we've already looked at this, but just look at what Paul is saying here to the church at Corinth. And he also brings in the Galatian churches. He says, now about the collection for the Lord's people. So this was a specific collection that was being made for the people probably in Jerusalem. I believe that was the context. And they were taking up a collection because the people were so poor that they couldn't take care of their needs because the persecution was so intense. And this collection was being taken up, and it was the thing that the Lord was doing. He says, and about this collection for the Lord's people, do what I told the Galatian churches to do. This was just something that many, many congregations were doing to be able to take care of a need. He gives them some instructions. He says, do this so that when I arrive, no collections will have to be made. That I can just show up, grab the money, and go do the work. I just want to encourage us that when times present themselves. So a minute ago we were talking about when the individual comes and asks you. Well, what about when a group of leaders or a person who's taken up an offering for some, you know, group of believers, what about when they come and ask you? Same thing. Give. I mean, this is intense. But you remember the Bible verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 that says, in fact, I'm just going to reread it because it's so applicable to this very moment right here. And we'll wrap up pretty quick. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 10 and following. He who supplies seed for the sower, bread for food, will also supply and increase your store of seed, and enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. And if you do all this, you will be made rich in every way so you can be generous on every occasion. When someone asks you, when an offering is being taken up, when someone is in need, when there's a situation, when there's something that you can sow into. He desires to bless your finances so that you can be generous every single time. This is exact in line with what Matthew 5:42 says. Give and it will be given, or ask, give to the one who asks you. How would you be able to do that if you didn't have? The Lord's desire is that you would be financially blessed enough to be able to be generous every time there's a need. Every time. I mean, I'm just going to read it again. You will be made rich in every way so that you can live high on the hog. That's not what the verse says. You will be made rich in every way. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. The Lord's desire is that we would be able to be so prosperous in the area of finances that we would be able to sow into His kingdom in 100 ways. It's actually His purpose. And you get to touch all the money. It comes through your hands. You get to eat off of it. You get to live out of it. You get to travel out of it. You get to do stuff out of it. But it's not ours. It's actually given to us so we can be generous every time. Listen, this is convicting as anything. I mean, this just deals with the core of who we are and how we spend our money and how we think about our money and our possessions. Jesus is not trying to put us in chains. He's trying to free us up. What if this teaching, what if this concept that I'm presenting tonight is actually intended to bring us just as much freedom as the past 5 sessions of Supernatural Stories? Because I think it is. The Lord's desire is that we would live outside, out from underneath the bondage of feeling like that stuff is ours. Now, a couple more little points here that I just want to give about staying in the center of His will, because that's the message tonight. Follow the Lord's lead. All the scripture that we have can't possibly speak to every unique situation exactly. It speaks broadly to all the situations. We still need to be led of the Lord. We've been talking about, you know, crazy things that the Lord says. We've been talking about normal things that the Lord says. Sometimes His leading is so unconventional. Scary even. And sometimes it's perfectly normal looking, even to the point of just being so just what everybody does, that just doesn't even seem like it possibly be God. And sometimes it's God. God's the one that writes the rules. I'm not advocating that we do everything crazy or that we do everything super normal and, you know, just the way that it is. I'm advocating that we hear the voice of the Lord and we follow Him wherever He leads on these finances. This is a little bit of review. I told you guys stories about how the Lord told me for a season not to accept payment for any work that I did, except for the little paycheck I was receiving from the church I was working at. And I was mowing people's lawns and babysitting and house sitting, and the Lord wouldn't let me take a dollar for it. That is the most unconventional, crazy thing that could possibly be. But I would have been in disobedience if I had received money for that, because I just knew the Lord was speaking to me. I'm not saying go do that. I'm saying let the Lord speak, and if He says something like that, follow Him. Well, I also told you stories about times that the Lord just let me go get a job. And I just worked my tail off there and I got promoted. I was working at Bassett Furniture. It's now a trampoline place over there off of 20. But it was a very fine furniture store at one point. And I was working there for a season of time. And I remember going through training. And I just got the job because I just thought, oh, how hard could it be to sell furniture? Little did I know. They were a design studio. Do I look like a design person to you? I'm not. I found that out as I was going through training. I was in training with all 40 and 50 year old women that were like design, like experience, like had gone to college for, you know, design and stuff. And here's me, you know, 22 year old or whatever doofus, doesn't know anything about anything. Color matching, my goodness. I don't even know how to put the two same shoes on. Like, and here I am. But I served there and I just worked my tail off because the Lord just let me get this job. And I just worked my tail off. And in the course of about 6 months' time, I outsold all of them 1 month. And I was the salesman of the month. I was like the employee of the month. And they all looked at me like, what in the world are you doing? And I was like, I just give away my money and pray and ask God to bless this. And they just shook their head like, you're an idiot. How in the world are you doing this? Well, that's very conventional. The Lord's purpose is work hard, give away your money, and He will bless you at whatever it is you do. So in that situation, I just kind of followed the trend. And another one, I told you guys a story about a time when the Lord told me to quit my job and for a season of time, wait and not have a job and that the Lord would supernaturally supply for me. That is suicide. That's crazy. Don't go do that. The Lord told me to. And I just knew it was Him. And He supplied. And I told you all those crazy stories that He did during that season of time. I'm not trying to get you to go do that. I'm trying to get you to be open to whatever it is the voice of the Lord would lead you to do. Whether it's conventional or unconventional. Whether it's crazy looking or normal looking. The Lord's purpose in all of this is that we would begin to consult Him with our money. That we would begin to look at Him as the one who we've got to ask about our finances instead of making decisions by ourselves. And I'm going to give you just four simple areas about the way that you approach God is trying to get a balance here. The first thing I think each one of us need to do in trying to assess how do we stay in the middle of God's will regarding our money is we need to ask Him, Lord, for this season of my life, what lifestyle do you want me to live? What do you want my lifestyle to be? Am I supposed to be living in a house? Am I supposed to be living in an apartment? Am I supposed to be making a lot of money? Am I supposed to be making a little? Do you want me to... What lifestyle are you calling me to? Am I supposed to be a marketplace, you know, businessman or woman? I'm supposed to make a bunch of money? Am I supposed to be a stay-at-home, you know, mom and not really have a lot of money? Lord, what lifestyle are you calling me to? Ask Him that question, get the answer, and then live according to that lifestyle. Don't live according to a different lifestyle. You will find yourself so outside of God's plan for your life. Find out what He's doing with your life, say yes to it, and live within that line. The truth of the matter is, if the Lord's called you to be in the business field and to make a bunch of money and to be able to do all that, you would be in disobedience and outside of His plan and purposes to try to approach your financial life a different way. You've got to go with the flow. Ask the Lord, Lord, what lifestyle, what's my overall lifestyle for this season? Next, what's your overall financial philosophy? You want to figure this out. You want to get this nailed down with the Lord. When I get money, what do I do with that money? How much do I spend on this? It's budgeting. But it's not just budgeting like I need to pay my bills. It's budgeting how much am I going to sow into the kingdom? How much am I going to spend on myself? How much am I going to spend on my bills? Lord, are there other ways that I can make money? And if I bring in extra money, what can I do with that money? What am I supposed to do? Get an overall financial strategy. Get a plan for your impulse spending. Listen, as 20-year-olds, mostly in this room, impulse spending has the ability to completely destroy you and make you poor. Impulse spending is that extra burger, that extra thing, that extra article of clothing, that extra this, that extra that. Just get a budget. And bring the budget before the Lord and ask Him, Lord, how do you feel about this? What am I supposed to be doing with my finances in this area? Don't just assume you can spend it all on yourself. Ask Him, Lord, what's healthy? What's a healthy amount of my impulse money? Just my fun money, whatever, call it whatever you want to call it. Get a strategy from the Lord, present it to Him instead of just blowing whatever money that you get. And then the last one is lifestyle upgrades. Each of you is going to have seasons where there's a lifestyle upgrade. You move from out of your parents' house into an apartment. You move out of an apartment into a house. You move out of one house into another house. You purchase this, you move here, you do that. There are going to be times where there's lifestyle upgrades. Lifestyle upgrades are not the devil. Just make sure they're God's plan and not your plan. Just ask the Lord, is this what you wanted me to do? No. Well, don't do it then. Oh, but this will be cool. I always wanted this. This will be great. Quit it. Stop. Shh. No more. Don't try to turn God's plan, try to bend His arm. Ask Him and follow His plan. You're going to be in the perfect will of God so long as you stay right in the middle of His plan. And that's where you'll be the happiest. That's where you'll be the best off. And again, I'm looking out for us from the standpoint of all of us are going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And He's going to say, hey, so you were American in the 2000s? You do know that you had more than most of the kings of the earth. You do know that you ate better than 99% of the population of human history, right? You know all that? Yes. Okay, well, good, because to him who's been given much, much is going to be demanded. So let's see how you did. Well, I mean, this may be funny right now, but it's real. I just want to help prepare us for it. I just want to get us thinking. about some of this stuff, that we would start to see 100% of the finances as God's. Yes. Instead of the tithe or 20% or whatever, we would start to go, God, my money is not my money. My stuff, my possessions, it's not mine. So whatever you want to do, you can do. And Lord, I'll just tell you, I am prone to folly. So have mercy on me and lead me. You know what? If you'll approach God humbly, it says he gives grace to the humble, but he opposes the proud. I've got this figured out. I know it's my money. I'm going to do with it whatever I want. He opposes the proud. Lord, it's yours. You can do whatever you want. Why don't we stand?
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.